Okay, thank you, Ron. Good to have you with us tonight. It's beginning to smell pretty good around here a little bit, so I guess before we get on, the smell will be much better than it is now. I always kind of look forward to that on Thanksgiving, but Mama Ann and I have about decided this is maybe the last Thanksgiving that we're going to try the turkey. I think we're going to let somebody else do it next time because it's getting a little beyond us, I think, sometimes. But nevertheless, we thank the Lord for what we have, and we thank the Lord for what we understand and what He gives to us, and to realize and understand that we're tied into the greatest hope that the world has ever known.
Amen.
And to realize and to understand that is something that is beyond, really beyond any expectations that I ever had. This is Study 8 and Right Division, or Rightly Dividing, is if you want to put it that way. And this is November the 21st, 2012. And last week we were talking about what a student needed to be to get involved in really understanding the Word. And so we're going to continue with that a little bit. And I think we wound up in Luke 16:16, but I want to go back to Ephesians for just a minute as we start, and just in way of review. Go with me back to Ephesians 1 on page 1762. Ephesians 1, if you have a companion Bible, that's the page number. But there was, in Ephesians, there are three places in Ephesians that we looked at and we talked about in this one dispensational book, in this letter here in Ephesians 1:21, Ephesians 2:7 and 3:9 is kind of unique in the sense that the Word talks about in chapter 1 about this age or this aeon, and then it talks in 2:7 about a future aeon, and then Ephesians 3:9 talks about an aeon past or an age past. So I want to look at those three again before we continue on and give us an opportunity to kind of get our minds set back to where we are going. We'll just look at the, we'll just be a one verse Charlie, in this thing. We start in Ephesians 1. If you look at 20, it talks about what he did, with Christ. God did with his Son, where he set him in his own right hand. And he says, far above all, 21, principality and power. So we realize that we're getting a little opportunity here. We're getting a little picture here of things that is going to take place. We're getting a snapshot of that when we read this. It says, far above all principality, power, and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age or this aeon or world, but also in that which is to come. So we realize that looking at the Word rightly divided and looking at this letter to the Ephesians that Paul penned, we realize and understand that he had mystery truth. And this was what he was sending back to them, because when he told them that they wouldn't, in Acts, that they wouldn't see his face anymore, this was the way that they were getting this message back. He was sending it back to them in a letter, in an epistle. Okay, and then we go down to Ephesians 2:7. Well, it's kind of hard to look at a one verse in Ephesians without at least going back one. And he talks about raising us up together, making us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now that is something that, you know, unheard of in other places, in other books. Here he has given us something to look for that in ages to come, because verse 7 says this, that in the ages to come, that he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So here is a mention of the ages to come, or an aeon of the future, if you will. And so we've just seen about where we have read about this age with a glimpse or a photo, if you will, of that to come. And then he enlarges on that in Ephesians 2:7. And turn with me to Ephesians 3:9. And we'll go back to the age past, or the age past. Ephesians 3:9. Well, again, let's go back to 8. Paul talks about himself here, and he says, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. So we see here the unsearchable riches is just that. It is that we cannot ever completely bring to bear, because it just can't be done. Because there are riches there, laid upon riches. And so, that is, of course, concerning the mystery. And he says in verse 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world, or the aeon, see it, from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, by his Son. So we realize here two things. He goes back to an age past. When you go back to from beginning, or from creation, this mystery truth was not known from creation. It was not known to creation until it was revealed to the Apostle Paul. So you can't go back in the age past and expect to find this mystery truth. It's just not there. It said it was hid in God. And so that's pretty self-explanatory, that it would be hid in God. And so we kind of left off with the fact that we could list more of these things here, but we just chose these few that they must suffice for the time's sake. But we really need to push on. I didn't expect we'd have 8 studies in this whole thing, but we still got 2 or 3 to go, I know, for what I have. Kind of got dug out here. And I was looking at Dr. Bullinger's a quote that he quoted in How to Enjoy the Bible. And I know you've probably seen this statement more than one time. But this is a quote he had there. He says, "While the Word of God is written for all persons and for all time, yet it is as true that not every part of it is addressed to all persons, and it's not about all persons." So we realize and understand that when we look at the past, when we look at the present, and when we look at the future, when a good student of God's Word gets involved and he recognizes these ages and dispensations, that they need to be put in their proper order and in their proper place, so we can get some idea of the plan and purpose of God for the ages.
Amen.
And then, when you think about this, this thought gives us another key to rightly dividing the Scripture. And one of the keys is that we need to read the address on the envelope. And this is not a new thought either. It's been around for a long time, I think. Others have written about it. But certainly we get into trouble when we try to read ourselves into some of this stuff when it's really not for us. And we really need not apply others' instructions to ourselves and make them as our own, because that gives you some problems also. And I think about this when we talk about the different folk that we meet and discuss things with from time to time. And, you know, I hadn't been too far removed from, it's been about 40 years since I belonged to church down on the corner too. And every once in a while we get involved in going back to a friend that has passed away, which happened just this Sunday, this past Sunday. And and whenever you're standing there, or generally when you're sitting there, but in this instance it was a Wolf State Baptist Church, and this was a prominent family in the church for many, many years, and they were very prolific in their offspring, and to put it nicely, and all of this lady's children, grandchildren, great grandchildren filled up the church, and they just filled it up to overflowing, and the rest of us either stood up or stood around the sides or stood in the vestibule or in the choir or wherever we could to listen to hear. And her grandson preached her funeral. And I certainly... And, of course, Lonnie O'Kelly was one of the cousins, and Carolyn's husband. And so Lonnie and I talked about it a little bit after the service was over. And it was one of his cousins that was doing the preaching the service, which lasted 50 minutes. And to a 74-year-old man like me that was standing there on a gimpy leg, it took a lot of fortitude to do that. And But he started off really well, and then he went downhill from there because he didn't rightly divide the Word of God. And he didn't know anything, and he didn't know any difference between the appearing or the coming. And he got it mixed up. And also, he got mixed up as to whether the dead stay dead or not. He couldn't make it.
As they usually do.
And so, with all these things, this brings back memories, and it gives you a point to realize that, and I certainly did. I thank God for what little bit of knowledge He has given me when I walked out of that vestibule.
Yeah, amen.
In that place.
One good thing about a funeral that always happens to me. I always end up thanking the Lord a lot as I sit there for what I understand.
Yeah. So, people who say they're Christians, that they're Christian believers have problems with many subjects that need to be rightly divided and kept in place. And I just made a list of a few of these, and you could probably add a lot more to what I've got, but here they are. And some of them are law and grace. They don't understand the difference between gospel or the kingdom or the church or which church. Israel, Jew, Gentile, glory, judgment, bride, body, inheritances, baptisms, death, hell, grave, and resurrection. And with these people, a lot of them, just about all of them are confused in one great tanglement. They just kind of, as Brother Larry used to say to us, why are you wadding up the string? You know, keep it stretched out. Keep the knots out of it.
And they're willing to seemingly talk about scripture as long as it don't get too deep, as long as it stay very superficial, and don't really want to make anything work out or establish some kind of logic to it.
It can't be. If it's deemed normal, then it can't be God's word, you know, to an extent. So. There's just no wonder the Word of God is misunderstood and mishandled, and many has become the closed book. And I say this with the greatest love in my heart, because I realize and understand that, you know, when God spoke, that's how we come to know what His will is when He speaks. And if we don't really come to a true understanding of what His will is, then, it's going to cause some problems. And here's another key to right the dividing. You know, other than reading the address on the envelope and looking at things that we've looked at in other studies and some of our earlier studies in this Rightly Dividing series. In the Word of Truth, there comes announcements that are made, and we sometimes don't really think of them as announcements. And they come in the term of "but now." You ever thought about that? The "but nows"? You see, in spots where a change must take place to expedite God's plan and purpose, even within the same the same dispensational era. The but now points out the fact that truth which belongs to one part of a dispensation must not necessarily be interpreted to be true for another part of that same dispensation. So when we look at these things, we must realize that a change that takes place even without the whole dispensation being removed as God chooses to deal with his people. So remember this, when a whole dispensation changes, the principle on which God deals with man changes dramatically. Now, let's just take a look at some of these places where now comes into effect, and but comes into effect, and but now comes into effect. And I think we've got enough time this evening to get involved in a few of these, to some extent. Now, the Gospels, according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, belong to a past dispensation. We realize that. It's come and gone. And these books have a special relationship to the time when the kingdom was proclaimed and rejected. Because that's what the Gospels are. The good news that God sent his Son to the earth, and he sent his Son to his chosen people,
amen,
the Jews. And so when Christ comes, you know, he says, the kingdom is at hand. It's here. And that was what he was proclaiming. And he proclaimed it for about 3 years, and it was rejected. Guess what? They put him on a cross. They crucified and slain him. Put him in the ground. He was there for 3 days, 3 nights. Come forward. And he was with those that he chose to see him for a period of 40 days. Okay. So here in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we realize that they're in this dispensational age, in that age, they was two parts of it. When the kingdom was proclaimed and when the kingdom was rejected. And we're going to look at a little bit of both. So truth that pertains to the kingdom being proclaimed is certainly not truth for the period that the kingdom had been rejected. Because after they crucified him, they had rejected the one that God had sent. And they, you know, just like men do, they says, give us somebody else. We don't want this. Give us somebody else. So, let's look at the proclamation time period. There's two places here that I'd like for you to look, and I know you've looked at them before. I'm not telling you anything that you haven't heard before, but turn with me to Matthew 10. Chapter 10 of Matthew.
Yes.
Matthew 10, we're going to start at verse 5. And here is a good, a pretty good scenario of the reason that he says, you know, to go not. Matthew 10, 5, he says, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and unto any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
That just isn't all that difficult to understand.
No,
if you read it.
Not. But it says, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So, here it is. The kingdom is at hand. What did he say to them? He said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purse, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet stays, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And into whatever city or town you shall enter, inquire who it is worthy, and there abide until you go thence. And when you come into a house, salute it. So, that was the marching orders in the proclamation, or the time period of that proclamation when Christ chose his 12. He says,
here's what you do.
You go out and you do this. I'm going to give you the power to do it. Okay. If you don't mind, while you got that fresh on your mind, turn with me to Luke. And let's look at Luke's situation. Chapter 9 of Luke. And we're going to read a little bit in Luke 9. If I could find it. Myself. Yep. Luke 9, I want to read you 1 through 6. And I think this is surely the same thing because it seems to be for certain. It said, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. Okay, that is a little different wording, but nevertheless it means the same thing. And he sent them to preach what? The kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house you enter into, there abide, and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you when you go out of the city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. And so that was pretty much the same thought there. Now, while you're in Luke, turn with me to Luke 22 and let's get the rest of the story. In Luke, the 22nd chapter, I want you to go to 35. Because they had rejected their king. This was coming right down close to the time that he was going to be put on the cross. And he says, and he said unto them, verse 35 of the 22nd chapter of Luke, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, he said, lack ye anything? Did you lack anything? Was there anything missing?
This is an awesome comparison.
And they said, nothing, nothing. Then he said unto him, but now, you see that but now?
Very important.
This is a change. This is a change within that dispensation. See.
How is that 22?
Huh?
Yeah, Luke 22:35.
Read 36 again. Then he said unto them, but now, he that hath a purse, let him take it. And likewise his scrip, and he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. So, even now it was needful for a person to arm himself, it would seem like here.
Self-defense seemed to take precedence over having the clothes.
Yeah.
Even.
Yeah. Rather than be fully dressed, it'd be better if he was fully armed than fully dressed.
Yeah.
In this situation. So you see, when both the king and the kingdom was rejected, and we talked about it before, and the king was crucified and of course risen, and he was with them for the 40 days, this command was no longer appropriate because of the change of the circumstances. See, when you went back to Matthew 10 and you went to Luke 9 and he told them to go without these things, they were proclaiming the kingdom, and the kingdom was at hand. This was their good news of the gospel. But the people didn't want to hear that. God's people didn't want to hear that. The Jews didn't want to hear it. And so they rejected him. And whenever they rejected him, and he was crucified, and he rose again before he left the Mount of Olives, you know, there was a little different story here. Go with me back to Mark. I want to go to the 16th chapter of Mark. Mark 16:15. Mark 16:15. You know, he told them in Matthew not to go into any city of the Samaritans, but only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But in Mark 16:15, the story has changed some. So, there has to be some rightly dividing done here in order for all of us to understand this. Well, let's go back to 14. He said, afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and he upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he, Jesus, said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay their hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So you see, even in this age today that we have, you have those that want to still feel that they can cast out devils. And they can speak with tongues, and they can take up serpents. And a lot of them have done it, and have died. And they said it was from the lack of faith. No, it wasn't from the lack of faith. It was from the lack of rightly dividing God's word.
Amen.
Because I understand that this is not for me. And I'm like the old boy that used to, the saying with his sisters or whoever that had the song about being in the church, and they brought out the rattlesnakes. And he said, well, I reckon where they want a door at, you know. So
I reckon where they want their new door.
New door. So I'm kind of in the same situation that he was. It says in 19, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. So you see, this was just as he was leaving the earth, according to Mark. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. And this was the part of the fact that he had told them that when he left, that he would send the Comforter. And when the Comforter come, then the Comforter would lead them into all truths and righteousness and all manners of power, to kind of paraphrase that. So we see and we realize that you've got to look at the buts and the but nows and all this to get a grasp, really, upon what rightly dividing can do for us and give us that understanding, because I certainly would not want to be responsible on bringing out a bunch of snakes for people to get involved with. Now, there's about three or four places here that I want to look at, and I know there are many more than this, but on the but now thing, and the but now are a great key for us, but let's look at four, and then we'll close for the day. I want you to... At four places, let's go to Romans, the third chapter. The third chapter of Romans. And we're going to see I want to look at verses 19 through 23. Romans 3:19 through 23. We start off with the word now, and then that's what we are looking for. We're looking for the nows, the buts, and the but nows. And so now is 19, but now is in 21. And but is in 23. And so you need to put them together in order to get the understanding of the right and the dividing.
Chip said that was Wendy Bagley, by the way.
Wendy Bagley, yeah. Okay, I'd forgotten.
The rattlesnake thing.
Yeah. It says, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all of the world may become guilty before God. So, you know, there has been down through the ages this thing with the law versus the grace of God. And this is early in Romans. Think of it. Verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. See, the law was to give you the understanding of how sin works and how it is against the principle of God. In verse 21, you have the but now. So you see, he says, no flesh can be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, or is shown, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. And this is another way I think that Paul, when he had his all-day meeting in Acts 28, he had an all-day meeting and he showed them Jesus Christ out of the law and the prophets.
That goes exactly along with what it mentions there in Acts 28.
Yeah.
So they gave him a day and he said from morning till night he preached Christ out of the law and the prophets.
Right.
Right.
So he goes on to mention this here in Romans, even before he gets that far down the road. And he says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And
you know, as Mikey mentioned last night, if Romans truly was an Acts period book, and I believe it was, and probably the last of the Acts period books,
right?
I know that at least in that point of the book of Acts, where Romans came about, that there was no law in effect, because if that weren't the case, then that verse would be wrong.
It would absolutely.
Because he makes it perfectly clear in 21, as you read there, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested.
Yeah.
But now, there's the big emphasis on the change that you're talking about.
Right. In verse 23, it says four. But when you look at it, you could say but. Let's just read it again. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. But all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we know that we all were born in sin. And certainly, we all have sinned. And that's certainly a but in that situation, even if it don't say it. It kind of applies the or insinuates that. 1 Corinthians. I want to go to 1 Corinthians 15. We did this back in our census study. But let's go to 12.
This is probably the most awesome but now.
Yeah. We're going to look at verses 12 through 22 and just kind of read them on through. And it starts off with now. Now. Or, you know, you could add a but now, but this now suffices for this. He says, now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain and your faith also vain. Yea, and we are found false witness of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, and you could put there, but if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and you're yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. But now.
Amen.
You see?
There's the big one.
Here's where he starts out. He'd been looking at it in a negative view along with those that said, you know.
Lowest of the low.
If Christ is, this is where you are if you don't believe this. He says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. But as in Adam all die, you see that four there, 22. Four and but is kind of interchangeable in some of this stuff. For as in Adam all die, even in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order. See, there's an order to this. It's not chaos. It's not nilly with it.
Yeah, always order with God.
There's order there. Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. And see here in 1 Corinthians, there wasn't any idea at this point even of the appearing. It was still in the coming venue or area. And so we see there that you have the now and you have the buts and the fours and you have the but now in 20. And then let's go back to Ephesians. We want to look at Ephesians 2:4. You know, we started out in Ephesians 1:21 and 2:7, but let's jump back up to Ephesians 2:4 and read what it says there in 4 through 14 if we've got time. And yeah, we can get these in. And it's going to work out pretty close to the time tonight. Sometimes I never know. It says, Ephesians 2:4, but God, who is rich in his mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. You know, we taking a view of our past, and what we were dealing with and what we were looking at in our past conversations wasn't really healthy. He says, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he hath quickened together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and has raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the age to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. How often do we get involved here in this whole world thinking that we can work our way into these wonderful things that God has promised? We can't do it. We can't buy our way in. It's not we're to do good works, but it's through grace. It's not by your works. Because it says in verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmen, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You see, this workmanship and the works that goes with it. Was put together for us that we should do these things. It's not that we have to do these things, but that it's the fact that this is the expectation of the Father. And he says, wherefore remember that being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, which are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. You were strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, years sometimes were afar off or made nigh or close by the blood of Christ. It was by the blood of Christ that gave us that entrance or that entering into the family of God. See, it says, For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. There's just one now. There's not many. It's the but one. And it goes along with the but now. And then the last one we'll look at for tonight is Colossians 1. Colossians 1, and we'll look at 23-27. And we've seen this before too, and we've been here before. He says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature, which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, or ordained actually, a minister, who now rejoice in my suffering for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. And a lot of people can't understand this. This is foreign news to many who profess to be a Christian believer. They could not believe that God could choose, that the risen Savior could choose someone to fill up the things that couldn't be revealed because it was a hidden secret of God. And when it was revealed and shown that there was some price that had to be paid for that, and Paul said in that meeting, either on the Damascus Road or just after, that, yeah, I'll do it. I'll absolutely do it. So, to me, that's another key. I don't know about you, but to me, it's another key. It says, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. So, this message that he got was given to him that he could give it to us to complete God's word.
Amen.
Now, if you belong to a group that's looking for something else or believes that you got to do something else or that something else plus Jesus Christ can give you an upper hand, you're in bad shape. Absolutely. Bad shape. It says even the mystery, which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now. You see the but now? But now is made manifest to his saints. You see, we now know.
Was hidden, but now it's manifest.
Yeah, it is manifest. It has, it's been shown. It may not be readily accepted or understood, but it can be. It certainly can be. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is, it's Christ in you. It's Christ in me. And that is the hope of glory.
Amen.
And I always thought glory was a place. But here, glory tells me it's Jesus Christ. If we are part and parcel of his body, then we're part and parcel of glory in Christ. In him. Whether we're there yet or not, he can look at it as if we already are. And praise be unto God that I worship a God that can certainly do that. So we'll call it off tonight. This is where I wanted to get to for a stopping place. We've been going right now for about an hour, close to it. So thank you very much for your time. I hope that you get plenty to eat tomorrow. It's a time of Thanksgiving. But we ought to be thankful not only for food, but we ought to be thankful for the truth that we hold in the Word of God, rightly divided.
Amen.
So thank you very much for your time, and thank you for your love. Thank you for your thoughts and your prayers. And as we pray for you, pray for us. We certainly need it. Thanks, Ron.